how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That is, they were all baptized under Moses. The Bible said, been baptized under Christ, they put on Christ. And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, as to the Spirit and the water. And of course, the sea was the Red Sea, as the blood covering. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, which is the Word of God. Whereas Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, for my body is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So he says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drink of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That is to say, the waters of life. It's good to have Vince. I didn't see him there. Okay, now, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And if any of them that believe not bid you to feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever ye set is set before you eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is thy liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that for which I give thanks. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Oh, we see here he said, seek not thine own wealth, but another man's. I think the number one problem with the world today is that everybody seeks their own wealth. They go after their own money. They go after their own house, their own land, their own understanding, their own wealth. Everything they do is to contribute to their own convenience and cause, plans and wealth. But the Bible said they're wrong. That's unbelief. Faith in the Word saves you, and faith in the Word is when the Bible said, seek ye the welfare of another, or look on the things of another, or esteem others better than yourself. So then we see the error of the entire world without preaching anything else that automatically condemns the whole world. Let's stand together. You have your little budget. You have your little way of life. You're looking to your wealth. You're going to take care of you and your family before you take care of your neighbor. Somebody said, is that wrong? That is wrong. Then you say, I should give to my neighbor before I give to myself? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did not Jesus give to you before he gave to himself? And what he received afterward was after he had given all that he had, even the blood from his veins, to you? Wasn't it when Elijah came to the little widow that she gave her very living of her son and of her own self, all that she had, gave it knowing that he was going to die before anything was given to her of the prophet? Wasn't it when the little widow walked into the temple and dropped in her living as two mites while the others were dropping in out of their abundance? Wasn't it then that God looked? And God said she's given more than them all, and he never did even notice what the rich man had given, having given out of their abundance. But the little widow, he rose from where he was sitting and said, I say unto you that she has given more than them all, for she has given of her living all that she hath. It is a sad situation, a very sad situation. As a matter of fact, I've just seen one walk out then, because they feel that they've lost their soul because of what I said. And strangely enough, I know that unless a miraculous thing happens, they have lost their soul because they're one of them that's involved. See, you sit here, you've lost your soul. You may stay with God. You may come back to be with God. You may repent. You may do all those things. See, somebody will say, but why do you say that I can't come back? Because of Esau. The birthright was gone. He lost it. He sought it with tears, but he couldn't find it. Judas sought it. He gave the money back. He said, I'm sorry. He went and repented. And when they wouldn't take the money, threw it down, walked off and left it. But the Bible said he didn't find a place of repentance. You know why? He'd already come to the knowledge of the truth. He knew better than to do what he was doing. See, it wasn't a thing as out in the world, a young girl, a young boy that doesn't know. It was a young man or woman, as we would say, as to one of them that do know. So the soul is lost. The soul is lost. They did know. Judas did know. But he still was cunning and crafty. And the Bible said even when he said something about the ill-famed woman, when the woman came, washed Jesus' feet with her tears, and dried his feet with the hair of her head, Judas said, if he had known what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't let her have done that. And if he had been a prophet, he would have known. But you know, I've said this a lot of times. It's not someone who loves you, who doesn't know all about you, that you can call your friend. Because if they happen to learn some of your life traits, they may never love you again. But it's someone that has known all about you, seeing your misdemeanors of life and your wrongs, as the Bible said, and God so loved us that while we were yet in our sins, he gave his son to die for us. That is a real friend. He loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. You understand, Jesus knew that woman. He knew what kind of ill-famed woman she was. But he saw the repentance. And he said, they that are forgiven much loveth much. He said, you haven't been forgiven much as to some of them. So you don't love much. And it could have been said to Judas, you haven't been forgiven, period, because of your ill doing, so you couldn't love. And the Bible said he didn't say the things that he said concerning that as to him and the others that said that, the other man that said that concerning the woman washing the feet, but Judas said it concerning the money. See as to when they anointed his head, as to the barrel, as to with the spikenard and whatever, said, and this could have been sold and given to the poor. And the Bible said he cared not for the poor, but because he carried the money back. He was interested in his own wealth, as to the money back. So you see that you need to look on your neighbor. If your neighbor's hungry, then give them something. Help them, share with them. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourself unspotted from the world. Come out from among them, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. But if you have the love of the world in you, said the love of the Father is not there. So you know whether you love the things of the world or not, or you love heavenly, spiritual, godly things, clean, upright things, you know. If you love that of the flesh, Satan, thou savest the things that be of the flesh, then are you under the control of Satan. If you love that that be of the Spirit, then are ye of God. And God loves that that be of the Spirit. And heaven and earth will pass away. The world will pass away. All that's in it will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall never pass away. For he said, my word, it'll never pass away. My words are life, eternal life. So, in saying that, as I talk to you, I know that many of you love the world. I know that. Even in religion, you're looking for what you're going to get out of it, or what you're going to be, or who you're going to be, or how much you can learn in your natural desire for the flesh. That's the Satan being vainly puffed up by the flesh. See, I know that's what I know the end of it. I see it. I see your spirit. But on the other hand, there are children of God. There are people that love God. There are people that are clean and true and upright. They love the Lord. They love the Lord. And they want to serve God. And they're not trying to use gimmicks and trying to be more holier than thou or prove something. They know that they're like the dirt, like the scum of the earth, and the righteousness of God. But they're trying to clean up their lives and be pure and be holy, to be like God, that God's Spirit can move freely in them, and there won't be any hindrance of the moving of the Holy Spirit through their body that has been so wretched. They're trying to make their body conform to His precious way of life, to give freedom that it might reach out and win souls and be a light throughout the world. Let's sing together. While we sing, the altars are open. I want to say again that we're glad to have our visitors with us here. I trust that they'll become children of the faith and of Bethlehem and of God. And also our people that come down from, I believe it's way up above Marietta somewhere. I don't know exactly where. But we're so glad to have them with us. Sister Grace came down with Brother Abraham out of Africa. I believe maybe she's a relative or some of them's relatives as to Abraham. Is this right? Okay. I thought that there was a relativeness there. Abraham is the one that's setting our crusade over Nigeria. Brother Ron and Brother Don is there, and we're looking for a great, wonderful crusade in Nigeria. People are responding wonderfully so far, and about 250 ministers had come together for a conference to help us in our crusade, and then outside of that, I don't know how many hundreds of ministers was coming together that was not as to help us in the crusade, but just ministers in general from the Baptist, the Methodist, Anglican, all kind of churches coming together to hear as to a fellowship of ministers to hear what we were planning to do. So we're looking for a good time in the Lord. You pray for us. I'm asking God to bless, asking God to heal, asking God to deliver. It takes a lot of money to project a crusade. At the very, very minimum, it's taking $40,000 toward that crusade, and that's the very minimum. I don't know how much more it's going to take, but already, according to the figures, we figured it down to $38,000. David Paul did, and the ones that's looking after it. And that's the closest that they can get, and I think it'll swallow up another couple of thousand without any problem. So I rounded off at about $40,000, and I'm saying that's going to be something if we get out that cheap. So I said, well, I could set it, you know, for $10, $15, $25. Well, it's a good, you know, we sure do need a whole lot of them folks over there. And I'll tell you what, if you can do it, I'll give you the $1,500 or the $3,000 to travel over there so that you can do it. I'll pay the $12 or $15 or $25, I believe it was $2,500, to get you over there to start with, so that won't be on your mind, so you can set it for your $25. Let's give the Lord a hand, will you? Somebody say hallelujah. I love you. I'm not mocking you. I'm just telling you that a lot of things, you know, we don't understand. Every man thinks his ways is right in his own eyes, you know. But I love you, and I I appreciate you. Ask some of these people that just went over to the Philippine crusade. They did it on their own. They just paid their own way and went over to eat and to fellowship and be with us. Ask them what it cost. I saw Dwight grin when I said that because I know how he feels. And there was somebody telling me yesterday about how they felt about what it cost them. Brother Bill, I believe it was Brother Bill. Anyway, let's sing together. Lord bless your heart. We love you. Ask some of these. Here's Brother Steve. He was over in the Holy Land with us. He had to pay his way over. Brother Everett has been over there a few times. Sweep over my soul.
Sweep over my soul.
Sweet Jesus.
Sweep over my soul.
While I sit at your feet, O sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. The altars are open. Would you like to sing with us? I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more.
And though the tempest
it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I sail evermore. Can you sing with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may take me out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. It's every hour. And I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. So don't turn Him away. Come into my heart. Oh, come in. just coming
today
and coming to stay, coming to my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing that one more time? Lift your hands up and close your eyes. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. Lift up our hands. And if the Lord has never come into your heart, let him come into your heart. The Bible says, in the book of Solomon, he's standing and he's knocking at the door. And the Bible said he's without, and the drops of the night is in his locks, because he's been out in the night knocking and asking you to give him a place to stay. But in that you did not give him a place to stay, the dew drops has fell upon him, and the drops of the night are in his locks. He's knocking at the heart's door, saying, and whosoever will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And that's what he would like to do. That's what he would like to do. Jesus wants to help you. Like the song we wrote, life is so sad. And it's filled with trouble. As you behold things that you know ought not to have been. But what can you do when life is filled with the trouble of sorrow? What can you do? Or that is to say, when life is filled with sorrow, you don't know what to do. Or what can you do? As the song says, when life is filled with sorrow and there's no hope for tomorrow, what can you do when you know that you've lived your life in sin? As the song said, you can tell that things are not going well, and in your heart, you'd like to make a change. A lot of people would like to make a change. They know things are not right. They'd like to make a change. They really would like to make a change, because things are not well with them. And they know that they need to make a change. They're in desperation. They know they've got to make a change for soul's sake. But as the song says, you've lived so long in sin that you don't know where to begin. So you don't know how to call on Jesus' name. You just hang your head in shame. But there is a way. There is a way. And he does understand. If you'll give him a chance, he does understand. If you'll make the effort, he'll help you find the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can come to the Father by me. It's because he did no sin and took away our sins and died for our sins that we can go through him to the Lord, to the Father of heaven. You can go through the Lord Jesus, because once we pass him, there's no sin that goes beyond him. When we come to that door, All of our sins are left outside because of him, and we pass through, and on the other side, between him and the Heavenly Father, there is no sin. There is no sin. He that is born of God cannot sin because he's passed beyond the veil. He's gone through the gate, and he's on the other side. Baptized into the cloud and into the Red Sea, and the sins were taken away. And on the other side of Calvary, the law is folded up and laid away, and there's no transgression of the law. There's no sin. There's no death. And today, you're in the fullness of time. You belong to him. You belong to him. I'm going to ask Tony to come up and pray with us the closing prayer. While Tony comes, ponder over these things that I say. Examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith, not as just a believer, but if you be in the faith. As I explain the faith to you, many shall depart from the faith in the last days, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared, and the Bible said past feeling they can do anything and still believe that they'll be able to go to heaven, that everything's going to be all right with them. Let me encourage you to be holy and godly and pure. Not because that makes you a Christian, but because the Bible said if you can do these things, you shall never fall. It is the proof of Christianity within you as to Christ, his righteousness. It is the proof of the divine nature of which you are partakers. And the more you give yourself to that nature, the more that you'll yield fruit, whereas the Bible said, and this is the Father's will, that ye should bear much fruit. And your fruit, it should remain, that whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. I will give it to you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. And he said to the woman when she humbled herself, O woman, he said, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as you will. Faith. And God will give you the desires of your heart. To do the right things encourages the conscience as to confidence in faith. And you'll lack no good thing. For the Bible said, I'll give him the desires of his heart. And he that walketh upright before me shall lack no good thing. So tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Because he wants to hear from you. That proves that you've got a confidence there is a God. When you talk to him and ask him, then that satisfies God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him before. In its translation, the testimony was, he pleased the Father. And Jesus, before he left this world, he said, I do always the things that please the Father. Paul said, I strive always to please God by keeping my conscience void of offense toward man and God. Or that is to say, in doing this, it gives me the confidence that assures my heart to believe that God will bless me. And by this faith, as to that which freely is given to me in Christ, it makes me heir to the throne and the kingdom, and I have my heart's desire. All right, Brother Tony.